Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, an old farmhouse has seen many renovations, but something doesn't seem to enjoy the changes. A road trip leaves a listener drawn to a place she has never been, yet she knows too well. Someone left a deck of tarot cards behind when they moved out, and now a listener knows why. And would you consider always picking a haunted house to live in a talent? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
Hi, and how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I guess I can cross one of the things off my bucket list that I wanted to do.
Okay, what?
Although it's not the one I wanted to see, but it's good. It's pretty darn good. Getting up close to the Ecto-1.
Okay.
Because one of them is here in Branson at the car museum. There's just so many random things around this town. It's amazing. But there's a little car museum up by the Dick Clark Theater. And me and Harp went and had dinner up that way the other day, actually yesterday. And we wanted to go there. She loves looking at cars and Ecto-1. Mm-hmm. And so we went and saw it and got her picture by it. And we made a little video, too. I asked her about the Ecto-1 and to tell us the story of the Ghostbusters. And I posted it on her Facebook page. If you haven't seen it yet, you can check it out. She's sitting there and she's talking about Slimer. And then I somewhat convince her that she is also related to Slimer.
Okay.
Because she's a different color. She's orange, really. but she drools and makes, you know, noises and kind of some things Slimer does, makes messes.
Okay.
So she thinks she may be Slimer's cousin. She's not sure, but it's almost like I got her convinced she was related to the Lucky Charms leprechaun.
Yeah, and she went to preschool and explained that she was a leprechaun.
Yeah, and then all the teachers started asking her why she was a leprechaun every day, because she's short, she has red hair, and she makes messes. And so it's kind of Slimer and leprechauns. I'm almost wondering if Slimer is related to leprechauns.
Maybe.
Because they're both green. Yeah. They make messes. And I don't know. So anyhow, it's kind of cool. You can check out the Ghostbuster car. And it is actually one that was used in the movie.
The new movie.
The new movie. Yes, okay. It's the newer of the. There are, I guess, are five of them. And several of them this summer, I know, were out in major cities being used for one of like the taxi type services.
Okay.
And they were picking people up in them. And that was kind of cool. This one just somebody got and put in the museum. But it was neat just to see it close up. And having just seen the movie, I mean, it's kind of silly to say it's super accurate because, well, yeah, it was in the movie.
It was
from the movie. So anyway, neat stuff. That was the goings on yesterday involving some interesting kind of spooky related things.
Mm-hmm.
Good times. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like our show and you want us to keep doing this thing, That's where our EPPs come into play. Sign up to be an EPP on our EPP website, ghostpodcast.com. Get all those bonus episodes, lots of them up there for you. Today we'll kick off the show with a letter. It says, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Jesse, and my husband and I bought a turn-of-the-century farmhouse in Northwest Ohio back in October of 2011. It had fallen into disrepair and had been renovated by a few people here and there over the years, but when we bought it, we had big plans to restore it. We had two big dogs at the time, a German Shepherd and a Newfoundland who weighed around 150 pounds, and they slept on the floor next to each of us at night. Our bedroom was upstairs, and the stairwell separated the bedroom from the other upstairs rooms. One night, about a week in after we moved in, we four were settled into the bedroom and almost asleep when we heard and felt a huge bang on the wall by the stairs. We both shot upright. The dogs perked up and growled. My husband ran downstairs to see who broke in, and nobody was there. The bang shook the house, and it felt like someone kicked or punched the wall. Not long after that, we noticed other strange things. Above our headboard were huge handprints, and the fingertips were triangular. More showed up as time progressed, and it made me think of the incubus or succubus sitting on top of us at night and resting its hands on the wall. We tried to put our hands on the wall and smear them around to see if we could recreate them, but no luck. My husband worked a swing shift, so sometimes I'd be alone in the house at night. I've grown up with the paranormal, so I wasn't afraid, but I'd be reading on the couch with the dogs at my feet and suddenly hear a screen door slam and heavy boots pacing around in the kitchen. Caleb was at work, and we lived in the country, so nobody was physically there. We did not have a screen door, but the sound is unmistakable. One night when Caleb was out of town, I woke up to the back door swinging open and slamming. The rain was pouring into the house. Since I was home alone, I made it a habit to lock the doors, then push and pull them to be sure they were locked up. Yet at 3 a.m., the damn door swung wide open in the middle of the damn rainstorm. I shut the door, went back to the couch since I was afraid to go upstairs by myself. The heavy boots stomped back around into the kitchen and dining room for a few minutes until I said, "Mr. Boots, please be quiet tonight. I don't mind you're here, but please be quiet." Another night we were getting ready for bed and I went to switch off the hallway light that led to the back door, and as I did, the switch flipped right in front of me. I said thank you and asked Caleb if that ever had happened to him. He said yes and just said thanks and went on about his business. Helpful? No. We'd also see a shadowy figure dart from the downstairs guest bedroom towards the stairs. I'd be in the kitchen, turn around and watch the man-shaped figure dart from room to room. I just took note and went on with cooking. I mentioned that I was afraid to go upstairs, and for good reason. A few nights went, I was home alone. There would be a black mass at the top of the steps, and I could feel the anger he directed towards me. If I needed to walk by the stairs, I wouldn't even look up because I could just see. I could see just a black column kind of vibrate and shimmer. No way in hell I was going up there. We also have a small attic with a sliding door in the ceiling. My husband came running downstairs one night with a shotgun in his hand and white as a hotel sheet. I asked him what happened, and he said that the panel had slid aside while he was standing in the room. The panel slid sideways several times over a couple years' time span with no human touching it. A friend loaned us his big, old, hand-carved family Bible and said, "Just leave this in your bedroom and see what happens." We were a little nervous, but I opened the book to a random passage and we went to sleep. I woke up because I heard a voice in my ear saying, "That book doesn't belong here. Get rid of that book." My ear was moist as though someone had been really close and whispering to me. I had a visitation that it was a woman leaning over me. We had seen a woman twice before that, and she saved my husband's life, but clearly the presence of a Bible pissed her off. One of our friends can talk to spirits, so we invited her over one night without giving her information. We just said we needed some help dealing with a spirit. Immediately, she walked to the bottom of the steps and looked upstairs, and the goosebumps popped up on her arms. "Wow, he really doesn't like you," I thought. "No shit." But as she went through the house, she was drawn to the top of the steps and said that he watched me from there a lot, and that the small room with the attic door was where he spent a lot of time. It was his special place. She also told us that the spirit was confused and that he thought Caleb was his son. We had an infant son as well, and she said he felt very protective of her son and that he wanted to be sure I was taking care of everyone. I was a little insulted but comforted too. If the guy hated me but watched over my son, I could deal with that. We still live at the house, and the activity really picks up if we're going through a rough time or stressed out. Mr. Boots is allowed to stay because I don't think he's bad. I do think there are other entities in the house that need to be taken care of, though. What do you think?
I agree with her. I think there's other entities in the house.
Yeah.
There's something that's semi-helpful, kind of. And then there's something that's just completely not helpful, malicious, if not a dark entity, because of the way it was threatened by having a Bible in the bedroom.
I agree. That makes me think it's not the same entity that helped the husband.
Yeah.
At all. It's kind of like everywhere you look, everywhere you go, there's a ghost and a hand to hold on to.
Okay, what song is it?
Everywhere you look, everywhere there's
a Full House, really?
It's a Full House of ghosts. That's what was coming to mind.
Okay.
Whatever happened to just having one ghost?
Jeez.
You got a demon, a poltergeist, even... Give me something.
I don't have anything. I'm not going to help this.
Damn.
I'm not going to help this.
Sweet potato pie. Okay.
Oh, jeez.
We're not going to help that song. We got to move on to the next. We just got to keep the songs rolling.
Let's go with the stories.
Today's best variety of continuous horrible music.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let's go to another story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. It is, back to that story, though. It was interesting that they put the Bible there, thinking it was going to help things. That's one of those cases where you put something in there that you think, oh, this, they won't like this. Yeah, they won't like it, but it's not necessarily going to make them leave either.
I wonder if regular, like, not bad ghosts, just regular ghosts, feel threatened by religious items.
Like Uncle Jesse ghosts? If Uncle Jesse was a ghost haunting the house?
No, I'm talking about the Mr. Boots one that they were talking about, who kind of is hopeful to the son.
Like a human ghost is what I was getting at. Like, literally, let's say you have a full house. Let's say Uncle Jesse dies. Uncle Jesse starts haunting the house. He's not a bad ghost.
So would he be threatened by...
No, I don't think he would be.
I don't think so either. He'd so that's one... why I think there's more than one thing here.
Exactly. Kimmy Gibbler dies, starts haunting the house. Then, yes, then she's threatened by the Bible.
Don't mention Full House again this show.
There's a lot of people who enjoy the show. Perfect Strangers references on the next story. Deal? Okay, here we go. Hello, Tony and Jenny and listeners. I've originally posted this on the forum, but it doesn't look to be used a lot, so I thought I'd email it. It's a copy and paste from the forum. I apologize for being so long. My name is Antria, I believe. Am I saying that correct?
I thought it was Enrita.
Enrita. There we go. I can't pronounce names. Horrible with that. Enrita. Hi, Enrita. Sorry for butchering your name. Fresno, California. I've been listening for about a month and have to start from the beginning. So right now, I'm in October of 2014. Some time to catch up, but I will soon. Anyway, I stumbled across a podcast when recently trying to look for answers that I go through. I thought I'd write in now because I have not heard of a similar story as mine. As I mentioned, I'm from Fresno, California. There's a park called Kearney Park, and in that park, there's a mansion. Growing up there, were always rumors that the mansion is haunted by Mr. Kearney, and he's not a nice ghost. No one really goes to that park, and it's located in the country of the town towards a small town called Kierman. As an adult, my husband and I like to go to this historical building, so we decided to go on a tour of the Kearney Mansion since we grew up around the area. We weren't sure how to get on the tour, so we did the best thing, and that was to drive to the mansion. After reading the information off the door, we decided to hang out for a while. It was a nice day. I was walking around the mansion when I saw an image in my head of a woman giving birth. I remember thinking this was very odd and hard to explain. The image wasn't covering over what I was looking at with my eyes, which I was looking at a tree. I just thought it was weird. My husband then was ready to go, so we left. Came back the next weekend when they had the tour. My husband and I ended up being the only ones on the tour. The tour guide man welcomed us in as soon as we walked in and felt like I was at home and was happy. Couldn't stop smiling and feeling welcome there. The mansion is 3 stories tall, not as big as you think a mansion would be. The first floor had an office for Mr. Kearney, a large room for administration, a sitting room which had a gorgeous fireplace, and a dining room. The kitchen was in another building 5 steps outside the door from the dining area. We learned the land was for crops. All the workers and their families had homes in the land. He had his own grocery store and even his own money. So if you worked for him, you would get paid with money that can only be used there. The tour guide brings us upstairs, which had four bedrooms, which two bedrooms had their own bathrooms and fireplace. The other two bedrooms, not sure exactly as they were closed off due to the floors, but they shared a Jack and Jill bathroom. Top floor was also closed off due to storage. After the tour, the man giggled and said he thinks it's funny about rumors of the mansion being haunted by Mr. Kearney. He said Mr. Kearney was a very loving and giving man. He never had a family, but he enjoyed his life and enjoyed bringing happiness to people. He said actually he was going to build a park around the mansion, way better than the one that's there now, and build a bigger mansion for himself and leave the current one to the manager who had a wife and baby on the way. So I asked if Mr. Kearney died in the house, and he said no, he actually died on a boat coming home from another country. He then mentions there were no deaths in this house, but there was a birth. Well, Mr. Kearney was out on one of his adventures. The manager's wife gave birth in the house. I was shocked and wondered if the image I had the last time I visited tied into the birth. A more recent experience had happened that made me seek for answers. It was last year when my husband and I decided to go up the mountains to a well-known lake that was dried up due to our severe drought. The lake is called Shaver Lake. On the way there, you have to drive through two towns, Coors Gold and Oakhurst. Every time I drive through Coors Gold, I feel like I'm home. Belong there. But it never stopped. Going into Oakhurst, at the first light, there's a sign that reads, "Ahoney, 5 miles. Once I read that, I had an overwhelming feeling that I need to go. I ignored it and kept driving to Shaver Lake, which Shaver Lake was sad to see. I do not have memories there, but many people do, and you can feel the sadness. It's also had a recent fire. I drove out of the area and started driving back home. I'm driving by the intersection again, Ahoney, 5 miles again, that overwhelming feeling came over, but my husband wanted to go home. Again, that was last year. A month and a half ago, I had this urge to go out of town for a delicious burger. My husband had no recommendation and told me, just drive. Well, we ended up in Oakhurst. I really love it up in the mountains. I seriously feel like I should be living up there, and I've probably only spent 1% of my life up there. Well, I did get my delicious burger, and I also got the overwhelming feeling of going to Ahoney again. On the way home, because we had drove up there at 7 p.m. and it's about a half hour from home, I told my husband we need to go back the following week and go check it out. The following week comes and we go drive up there. Again, we have to go through Coors Gold, and I just want to say, but I have to keep going. As I get closer to Oakhurst, the draw feeling starts coming over me. I make the turn towards Ahoney and get out of Oakhurst and get this familiarity of this place I've never been. I notice there are lots of houses on the street, which you really don't see being up there. Usually you have to drive down a dirt path before you get to see houses. I really try not to look at the houses because the road is a little winding, and if I miss, I can go off a cliff into a house. So I was looking ahead. Then, without control, I turn my head to the right and I look at this white house. Then an image in my head like I'm standing in the front yard of that house looking at the road. A view from the house I cannot see as I'm driving right by it. If anything, I saw a blink of it. The town isn't very big, so I ended up turning around. Don't want to get lost up there. On the way, we were talking about food, so by the time I turned around, my mind was focused on food as I was hungry. Then again, without control, I turned my head left, and it's that same white house. I feel like I'm home, and I should be driving up the driveway, not driving by. My focus is no longer on food, it was on the house. Even when we were sitting in a restaurant in Oakhurst, I felt like I was there, but not there. Like my body was there. My mind was at the White House, sitting in a room, staring out a window, looking at the road below and the mountain hills far away. As I was driving home, I was feeling a little better and more like myself. I still had a feeling I needed to go back to the house. Before finding the podcast, I had posted this experience on Facebook. I had some friends who are interested in what is going on with me and asked me more questions. I then went on Google Maps and pulled up the house within 30 seconds. I was amazed I found it so fast, like I was supposed to. I posted the picture of the house, and instantly the feeling of needing to go back to the house went away. Does anyone have any idea what is going on? I've looked up Empath, which I can say yes to 80% of it, but it doesn't mention buildings. I usually get feelings around buildings just by driving by, or I get drawn to buildings. I never know if my feelings are true because I do not stop. Any thoughts? I do have actual ghost stories and Ouija stories that I'll share a little later. P.S. I know what's going on is not related to the Ouija. When we moved, that stuff stayed behind. Thank you so much for reading this, Anrita.
I have a couple of ideas.
Okay.
One, either some sort of almost like past life connection or something happened in that town, and that's why she somehow feels familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or something is drawing her there that's not something. I mean, it's not that she has any previous life history or anything there, but more so, you know, sometimes people feel called to homes and stuff, and it ends up it's like an entity has reeled them in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's one of those two things. I'd be curious, since the house is still there in that little town, to do any, you know, research you can on it just to see.
I'd be interested to hear what she says if she were to pull up to that house.
Mm-hmm.
And walk around the area, go up the driveway. Hope, I mean, I'm not saying to go trespass on someone else's property, but if she were to do that, what would she be feeling? Would she get another vision like she had at that other house?
Mm-hmm.
You know, would more come to her without even doing the research? And I'd almost suggest if she's going to do that, if she's thinking about doing that, of just going, I don't know why, but I don't know how you approach someone on their front porch and express this story to them. But say she were to, I would be curious to see what she gets without doing research.
Okay.
Because I'd be concerned you do the research. It almost implies something.
It would skew.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it could. I mean, and it may honestly not at all skew anything that is going to come to her, but anyone other than her is going to make that argument.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's in the back of your mind, your subconscious. This is why you had that experience. But if she has no knowledge of anything and just something comes, then it comes. And
right.
If it happens to match up after the fact, that's a little different.
But unless she is, you know, super gutsy and wants to go walk around on this, I would say just go ahead and research it.
Yeah, I'd say research it. See how often the property turns over.
Yeah.
Before you research it, check that up. Look it up on Zillow or something.
Mm-hmm.
See how often this house turns over. Because if it's a fairly frequent turnover house, I'd say suck it up a little bit. Don't do the research. If it's like every year and a half or something, this thing turns over, wait for it to turn over again. Because it probably will. If it keeps doing that.
Yeah.
If it like never turns over, then do your research. But if it's like a regular turnover, go to a showing. Go talk to a real estate agent and say, can I see that house? And that's how you can go check it out.
But just be careful, because if there's something there that's drawing you in specifically.
Yeah, it could be bad too.
Be very careful.
You never know, because sometimes that sort of stuff is disguising, where it's like, oh, it feels like home. It feels like warm and cuddly. And then, oh, hell.
Right.
I'm waking up every morning at 3:30 going to the boathouse.
Yeah.
It's not always what it's cut out to be. So there you go. Hey, interesting bit of revelation that we had here the past couple of days. We realized our dog is a different breed.
Yes.
It came to Jenny in a dream, actually.
No, it didn't. My family is, meaning my grandmother and my aunt, they've all had Pomeranians.
Sure.
Bear's the first one that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
And I was showing them pictures because we went down for a visit. And they're like, he's really big for a Pomeranian. And granted, he's still a small dog, but he's a good 11-pound dog.
Yeah. And this is what the people who we got him from,
we rescued him from a family who they didn't want him anymore.
And they said he was a Pomeranian. So we kind of went with it, because when we got him, he was just big, puffy ball of white fur.
Sure.
Reminiscent of a Pomeranian. And I don't know my dogs very well.
Well, he looks like a Pomeranian.
He does.
And he was 7 months old when we got him.
So he was tinier at the time.
Yeah, he was. But, you know, after looking into it a little bit more, I think he's maybe a German Spitz.
Yeah.
Which they look just like Pomeranians, but they're slightly bigger.
And their facial structure is a little bit different.
Their snout is a little bit longer. It's more fox-like.
Which is what we have with Bear.
Yeah.
I mean, the pictures that you showed me of the German Spitz and, mm-hmm. and Bear, like, yeah, they're identical.
Right.
So there you go. We've been calling him a Pomeranian forever.
Well, we say Pomeranian because that's what Olivia said when we first got him.
Sure, but now we've realized He's something else. We should see what how badly the girls butcher German Spitz.
They're going to call him a German something else.
Is he? He's a German Spitz?
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen at preschool.
Yeah.
With
yeah. So anyway.
And then Harper will realize what she said, and she'll be like, yeah, because he does it all over the house sometimes.
Well, you know, it explains why the vet was kind of like, really? You know, when I said he's a pom, you know?
I wonder if you said he's a golden retriever.
Right.
No, really, he is. He's just really odd for.
But he didn't stay out of say, it. I think maybe he's mixed with something or something else. And I don't care really what he is. We love our dog no matter what.
Sure.
It just, we even looked up the temperament and the, you know, the information they have on yeah. that breed, and it fits his personality more.
It does. He walks on his hind legs a lot.
He loves to walk on his hind legs, and that's one of the things they specifically mentioned, that they love to do that.
He goes behind the bar sometimes, makes cocktails, comes back with a tray.
He will walk behind the bar on his hind legs.
It's kind of weird.
You just know he's going to come back with a martini.
What I think we should do is actually take the swab of his mouth mm-hmm. and then send it into like the 28andMe. The chromosome testing services.
You mean 29
or whatever? I don't know. 29.
Is it 29?
I think it's 28. I believe.
I don't know.
One of them that does the chromosome and then it tells you your history. Mm-hmm. But send it into one of the human ones. 23andMe.
See, we 28 biology.
So 23andMe. There yeah. we go. And send it into one of the human ones, but don't disclose that it's a dog. And see what they come back with. Oh, well, we believe it appears you grew up in the mountains in Alaska. Not many humans up. There's a lot of wolves.
That's a good waste of $200.
Just see where that goes. I would, if it wasn't $200 or something like that to do that, if it was like $20, I would try it. Just to see what they came back with.
They would call you and say, get immediate medical assistance.
All of a sudden, there's like people like in biohazard suits showing up on the porch.
Yeah.
We've been informed there might be something wrong with an individual here.
X-Files shit.
They think you're like might be turning into a wolf.
Right. It's like you're Wolf Man.
It's Teen Wolf.
You are Wolf Man.
All because we sent in Bear's chromosomes to 23andMe. That's how that would end.
It's messed up.
Next letter. Hi, guys. I'm a very new listener, and I must say I have a new favorite podcast to listen to when I have to sit up late at night studying for my next test or working on an essay for class. I have two stories for you, one of which I'm not personally involved in, but it's become a major legend in my country, the Rainbow Nation of South Africa. The legend goes as follows. A man and his fiancée were on their way to her parents' house in Uniondale to go ask for permission to get married. They were driving late at night, and for some reason or another, the car veered off the road and they crashed into a ditch. The woman died, but the man survived. Ever since then, there have been many accounts for a female hitchhiker standing next to the road just outside of Uniondale, and when people pick her up and start up a usual chit-chat of, where are you off to, and so on, she just won't reply. Then, as you get very close to where you enter the town, the woman would just vanish. There's even been a case of a guy with a motorcycle that picked her up and gave her an earphone of a spare helmet. He could apparently feel her hands around his waist until they just weren't there anymore. He immediately stopped as he thought she had fallen off, but when he turned around, he saw that the helmet was securely fastened to his bike in its usual spot, and the earphone he gave her was melted as if it was held close to a flame. She's become known as countrywide as the ghost of Uniondale. Now, from my personal experience with the supernatural, it all started when I was around 9 years old, sitting in class at the end of the day, listening to the story my teacher was reading us. I was staring out the window as usual because my class looked out over the rugby field when I saw a white figure floating towards the class in the one house next to the school. It came and sat down in the windowsill and stayed until my teacher stopped reading, then just went back to wherever it came from. For the rest of the year, every time it was story time, the figure would come floating towards the class, and it seemed to be very much listening to the story. Because at the time, I didn't really believe in ghosts and the like. I wrote it off as a trick of light. But then, I started to see similar things in other parts of town. At various times of the day and night. I eventually started looking for them, and I noticed that they hang around particular people or places. They have no distinguishable features, although it does seem that they are human-like beings wearing white cloaks. I told my mother about it when my grandmother died, because at her funeral, there were many of these beings hanging around the grave with their heads bowed as if paying their respects. My mother then told me that my grandmother always used to speak about the exact same thing before her mind started to slip when she had her second stroke when I was very young. I have to say that up until September last year, I've never been frightened by these figures. I always feel very peaceful when they're around, but around my 19th birthday last year, I was woken up by what sounded like my radio. When I checked it, the radio was off, and I got back in bed thinking I must have been dreaming. The moment I pulled my head back down on the pillow, the radio voice started again right next to my head. I wasn't so much scared as I was startled, but I quickly calmed down again. I turned to see one of these figures sitting on its knees next to my bed, facing away from me. I couldn't understand what it was saying, but I got the idea that it maybe didn't know I was there and was off on its own mission. It stayed there for a while, speaking to itself, then disappeared into thin air. Not gone up to one and spoken to it or tried to see if it acknowledged me, despite seeing one or at least once a day for the last couple of years. Do you have any idea what these figures might be and what they're doing when they're hanging around people or places? Keep up the good work, guys, and thanks for reading. Claude in South Africa.
I think maybe since they don't know you're there, you know, maybe you're just seeing people that are doing something in a different dimension, if you will.
Okay.
Almost like seeing an astral projection.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're not even ghosts. Maybe they're just something.
It's like another frequency.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like they're going about their day,
mm-hmm.
and you're going about yours.
It's like a parallel dimension overlapping right there.
Yeah.
And whether that's a different place in time or just another dimension that happens to be overriding this,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I could see something like that. Or almost like what you were saying, the astral projection,
yeah,
where literally is astral projection. We've heard of that so many times of somebody, the living, literally mm-hmm. dreaming, having thoughts that they're in a place or another area, and they can see things that are really going on in real life, and so can the living. And they think they're seeing a ghost, and it's just someone having a dream.
Right.
But much more than that. Very interesting story. Thank you for sharing that with us. Phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. We would love to hear it. By the way, EPP members, I just updated the website. By the time this hits, it's been updated now for about a week. Today, as I'm recording this, I updated our archive section on the EPP website. Because as you're aware, if you listen to our show through iTunes, iTunes only goes back about 300 episodes. That's not us. That is how iTunes works. That's where it cuts you off as far as the amount of shows that it posts. And our show is roughly now around 600 episodes deep. So about half of our archive of shows isn't even up there anymore.
Uh-huh.
On the iTunes feed. So what I did, we've taken those episodes and made them available again through our EPP website. So now you can listen back to all of the episodes, all the way to number one. We're talking about the Amityville Horror, to The Conjuring, to a lot of interesting firsts on our show. Richard in Chattanooga, there's a lot of interesting stuff that first year.
Yeah.
That if you listen to the show on a regular basis, you hear a lot of references back to some of those things. But you have access to all of that now. You can download the episodes and everything right there on the EPP website at ghostpodcast.com. You just click on the classic RGSO section, and there you go. It's like 300 some episodes. So when you go become an EPP, you get all the EPP episodes that are separate, that have just always been there, which are up to 100 some now. And then you get you know, roughly 300 other episodes that are not available through iTunes anymore. So you get like 400 some episodes just by for $5 a month up there. So check that out. Lots of interesting stuff, because I've had a lot of people asking about, I'm trying to find this episode of this or that or zombie ghost clown or what have you.
Sure.
And it's not up on iTunes. And it's like, oh, well, it's and I'm trying to find, like, OK, I'm just going to get them all up there.
Wow.
There had been a lot up there.
Yeah.
But I wanted to fully update it.
How long did that take you?
Not super long. I found a way to do it.
Okay.
With our audio hosting service, of creating a nice giant playlist of all the episodes now.
Okay.
So if you'd been to that section, it was up there. It was a little more difficult to navigate. Now it's just a giant playlist of all the stuff, easy to download. It's 10 times easier than it was before, and it has 10 times the amount of content that was there previous. So
Okay. That's
up there as well. So enjoy binging away. Bo writes in, Dear Tony and Jenny, hope your day is treating you well. I would like to tell you that your show is amazing and I love listening to it all the time. I started listening since episode 12. I like the title of the story, Tarot Cards of Terror. I saw that one today as I was putting that together. I liked some of our original titles. They were very funny. Now on to my story. Bear with me. It's a lengthy one because all the events happened over a span of 8 or 9 years of my life. It all started when I was about 12, and one day I was looking around my closet and found a deck of tarot cards. Now, why they were in my closet, I have no idea. My family's not into anything like that, so it must have come from a previous owner of the house, but why I found them all of a sudden in my room, I don't know. Was it some bad fate of my part? I don't have the slightest clue. As I was sitting there, and from movies and TV, I knew what they kind of did, so I shuffled the deck, split the cards, and laid three down for past, present, and future. No, I don't know what the past and future cards were. All I remember was the middle was a joker. And because I was a class clown, I was thinking to myself how weird it is that these work. I shuffled them up, did a couple more times, and every time the joker kept coming up as present. After I was done playing with the cards, I put them in my closet and forgot about them. Time went on, and at night I started having a hard time sleeping because whenever I would close my eyes, I would see those horrible images of skulls and rotting faces with maggots all over them, so I would have to start thinking of The Simpsons or create a song with the sound of my ceiling fan noise to drown those images out. As time went on, my room was always like an icebox, which I love. The cold, it helps me sleep, and so does my dad. He would even comment on how cold my room was and how I was going to nap in there because it was colder than the rest of the house. He thought it was something to do with the vent or the AC came out of, stronger or something along those lines. I've always been an insomniac, and one day I was up real late watching a movie I'd watched dozens of times, and from my kitchen, which was behind me, in a little girl's voice, "Are you my daddy? Where is my daddy?" I heard, and I just sat there thinking to myself, "You've got to be shitting me." Stuff would also happen late at night, like you would hear knocking coming from the corner in the hallway, next to the door, but not the door or the wall. It was just the oddest placement for it, but you'd hear that a lot at nights. My door would shake as if someone would push it, but not violently or anything, just kind of rattle a little bit. But because we had the AC going all the time, and like I said, I loved the cold in the house. I'd always thought it was the AC. Till one day I was going to my parents' room to get something, I don't remember what, but when I went into their room, I saw the shoulder of an arm and part of a body. It looked almost like a woman, all in white, but it was walking past me. Took me a minute to register what I had seen, so when I looked back to see if I had seen it, the door rattled. Rattled like mine does. It happened as if someone walked through it, and I just didn't know how to explain it. It just was so strange. It was as if it walked from the bathroom to the door. That's how much time this event took, but seeing that the door rattle like that gave me chills, because now I know it's not the AC doing that to my door. It's something walking in and out of my room. From then on, every time my door shook, I knew something was leaving or going in, and it terrified me. Well, the years go by. This is all happening through this 8 or 9 years, some every day, some were just one occasion, and I end up moving out to our guest house, and my youngest brother moved into my old room. I kept seeing him sleeping in the front room every night, and I asked him why he kept sleeping in the front room, and he told me it was because of his bed, but something about it gave me a gut feeling. I knew that wasn't true, so at that moment I realized what was haunting me is now doing it to my little brother, and I'm not going to stand for it. couple of weeks go by and it draws on me. I have those tarot cards in my room. I've forgotten about them all those years, and they were the only thing that it could be, because we never messed with any occult items ever. I was telling my best friend after all these years, and I knew his dad is a priest and has done exorcisms, so I knew he was the man that could take care of these cards. I asked him if he would do it, and my friend said yes, he will give them to his dad. So I grabbed the cards and put them in my backpack, my back pocket. I could just feel these cards' energy. It was just so heavy, as if it was a brick condensed down to a pack of cards. I'd never been more scared driving to work to give him these cards. Luckily, I was able to get there safely, and as soon as my friend touches the cards, he can feel the same heavy energy. I was taken back a little at these cards. A few weeks go by, and I asked my friend, just out of simple curiosity, what was on those cards, and my friend, with a concern in his voice, said whatever it was, his dad wouldn't even tell. So sorry this was so long, but I had to cover a big amount of time in my life. I have a lot more to tell, believe it or not. Thank you all for what you do. It's an outlet to people that have had things happen to them, letting them know they're not alone. So, till next time, have a good night's sleep. Sleep tight, and don't let the tarot cards bite.
I know that we've been, I guess, scolded, for lack of a better term, about tarot cards. But I think this is a case where it's not so much what the cards are used for, mm-hmm. but something attached to the cards.
Just
like a ghost can attach itself to anything.
I think it could have been a waffle maker.
Yeah, you mean as far as
an item?
Yes.
It really didn't have anything to do with what the cards were. Mm-hmm. I think in this case, I think it was just maybe they were used in an improper way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you'd use a waffle maker in an improper way, but I suppose you could.
As a weapon.
Yeah, you could cast something. Yeah, I mean, there's ways you could. Yeah, exactly. Jenny was really quick on that. Jesus. I don't know what to say. I'm really going to have to make sure the George Foremans are locked up now. We threw those away.
Yeah.
Because they were broken and old.
Yeah.
But I think we have a waffle maker now.
I've burned myself, so that's why it came so quickly to me. Not planning on burning anybody on purpose.
Yeah, okay. So it says here in the news, tragic waffle maker accident under investigation in Branson.
Uh-huh.
That's what's going to be on the evening news.
Okay.
You know what's going on now.
Does anybody watch the evening news anymore, since it's on all the time?
If speaking, this is not me being stereotypical, older folks, demographically.
They've done that forever.
It's a routine.
Okay.
And that's nothing wrong with that. It's just, it is what it is. It's part of the routine. It's part of what you grew up with life. I mean, if I had a TV on, I'd probably turn it on if I was in a room when it was on at the current time, because I've grown up watching it. But, you know, someone 10, 15 years younger than us, they'd be like, what the hell's the evening news?
Okay.
I tried watching one of the other news services other than like MSNBC or CNN or something, because there's other ones now that are like on like what we use the online cable thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like some other news channels that are, I guess, more millennial designed or younger. And they're very hard to watch.
Okay.
Because it's like watching a Facebook news video, if you will. And it's constant rotation of them.
Oh.
And you're like, what the hell is this? There's like not a lot of depth to anything. It's like a lot of headlines and then it's nothing.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't absorb news like that.
Sure.
But it's just all a matter of perspective, I think, though, and what you're used to.
Okay.
So, there you go. Waffle irons. Oh, by the way, just as quick as you were to say, waffle iron is a weapon. Hashtag shit, Jenny says. I got an email from one of our listeners just saying, and the headline was, just because, .. because there was an episode the other day, I don't know how we were talking about it, I think I made the reference, or I said the statement, I don't know of any golf course massacres. Turns out there was a golf course massacre.
Oh, God.
Like in the 70s.
Okay.
I believe the Virgin Islands, I looked at the news story, it was a horrible news, horrible, horrible thing. It was some, I don't know if it was terrorists or what the hell it was, but not a good thing, but it was like a long, long, long time ago. Not that okay. It makes it any better or less horrible, but it happened.
It explains why you weren't aware of it.
It explains why I was not aware of it way before my time, but there was one.
Okay.
So there you go. Even that can happen.
Okay.
So it's odd when you think of these outlandish ideas, and then sometimes somewhere in history it has occurred, and that happens. Or products, where you have like an outlandish product, like, oh, this or that, and then someone goes, hey, look, it's on Amazon.
I'm going to Google waffle maker as a weapon.
You're probably going to find some horrible story out of Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah, probably.
Because that's where bizarre news comes to live. Hello again, Tony and Jenny. I hope you're both doing well. It dawned on me as I listened to the podcast that I've never told y'all where I'm from. I live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, pretty close to the Amish, but mainly in the city. Anyway, now and then that's out of my system. Here is a story about my haunted friend. Apparently it all started when she had a haunted dorm room, which was before I met her. But through the years, I found she has a talent, if that's what you'd like to call it, for choosing homes with ghostly residences. We had a really good sense of humor about it, but it caused me to hesitate to visit her or spend the night. The first apartment was near the heart of Lancaster City. It was an old Victorian house. Her roommate and she lived on the third floor, which was a refurbished attic transformed into a two-bedroom apartment. I've had a dream about that place, which gave me an uneasy feeling to begin with, because in my dream, I was running from something evil, and now here I was entering this place. My friend is also a huge fan of scary movies, so I humored her and watched them with her. I did spend the night there twice, and both times I was scared to death. I couldn't explain it, but in the very small living room area, I was so uneasy sitting on the couch. I could feel something close watching us, and it wasn't good. After the second time I slept over, I asked her about it, and I told her, I don't feel comfortable anywhere in the apartment but her room. I told her when I took a shower there was clearly something in the bathroom with me, because I was so full of fear the entire time. This fear I felt throughout the apartment was overwhelming. When she was in a room with me, I felt whatever it was focusing on me, but I felt its presence more when I was alone. I told her, Tara, what's the history of this house? I sense a lot of evil in this place. Who was the tenant before you? She said she didn't know, but she'd find out. Next time I was over, she told me she found out who the previous tenant was. It was a lady who was a devil worshipper. They found paintings made with blood in the small storage room by the kitchen. We later asked another friend of ours to walk in the storage room to see if she felt anything, and Shayla, our friend, looked immediately to me and said, why? Tara said, no reason. Just want to see if you feel anything. Again, Shayla looked at me and said, why? What did you feel? We realized she wasn't going in, so I told her, because I sense evil in here. I want to see if you do too. She refused, and we just chilled out for a bit, then left. There wasn't much activity in the sense of whispers, footsteps, at all, but I definitely felt his presence. Tara moved from Lancaster to Harrisburg, and this time her apartment complex was across from a graveyard. It was a beautiful apartment, spacious. At this point, she had two cats, Moses and Iggy. First time I was there, I looked at her and said, so you have a ghost in here again? Tara looked at me and said, you can feel him? I said, are you serious? We laughed about it, but she was serious. She said that he's been good, except he may move a cup or something or open a drawer or cabinet when she shuts the lights off and goes to bed. She asked me where I was sensing him, and I pointed to this huge storage closet in the dining room. She laughed and said that's where she feels him watching her from. Now here comes the creepy part. Every time I slept over, I slept in the living room by myself. I had trouble going to sleep because after Tara went to sleep, I would hear footsteps and rattling in the kitchen. I thought it was the cats, but both cats were with me in the living room, sound asleep. So the first few times, I would hide under the covers and pray that I'd fall asleep. I didn't sense anything evil, but it still freaks me out. The next time I slept over, I brought my iPod so I could listen to music as I sleep and not hear any freaky footsteps. While I was lying on the floor, concentrating on the music, I feel an weight come on top of me, like someone is lying on top of me. I opened my eyes to see both cats in front of me sleeping. Tara, again, sound asleep for the night, but I can feel a body on top of me. I don't know how, but at some point I fell asleep. One of the last times I slept over, I was on her couch and went to sleep easily. So I opened my eyes in what I thought was my dream. And I Love Lucy, the Job Switch episode, where the candy conveyor belt was on. I see a man dressed in a yellow polo shirt with dark dress pants bent over right by the couch right beside me. I didn't see his face, but he had dirty blonde hair. I only saw the back of his head, then passed out again. Maybe about a minute or so, I woke up and saw the same setup. I Love Lucy was on the television in the candy factory, but there's no man. I told Tara in the morning, and she said, Gemma, I don't think you were dreaming. You saw him. What did he look like? After that, I never slept in the living room by myself again. Sorry, these are so long. I have stories of my grandfather haunting my grandmother's house when she was still with us, but I'll save that for the next time. Have a great day. Finally caught up with the EPP episodes. Looking forward to more. Sincerely, Gemma.
Okay, I think Tara needs to take you with her next time she finds a place that she's interested in staying, just to make sure you're like, okay, are you aware of this entity that's already here?
She can be the canary in the coal mine for her.
Yes.
That would make the most sense, especially if she doesn't want to go into haunted houses.
Yeah, because one of these days you're going to get something that's not so pleasant.
It makes you wonder if there's like something drawing her to these and she's subconsciously unaware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, but she can't, you know, regularly sense it.
There's people that thrive on drama and the energy of having a drama go on constantly. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's people that are drawn to whatever type of energy it is from a place that's haunted.
Sure, I could see that. I think that makes a lot of sense.
So maybe that's it, and it's not something they're really aware of. It just kind of, they fall into it every time.
Yeah, I could see that existing. Mm-hmm. That seems to make sense. Did you find any waffle iron tragedies?
No, when you Google waffle iron and weapon, there's lots of pins that come up as this waffle iron is my secret weapon in the kitchen.
Like, you're on a list now.
They use it for all kinds of things, like making hash browns and stuff like that. Cinnamon rolls in a waffle iron apparently is amazing.
Tragic waffle iron accident.
Okay.
Nope. I got nothing. Maybe someone can beat us to that.
Okay.
And find that. I could see that being like what would happen if it was on the episode of, what was it, 6 Feet Under.
Mm-hmm.
On HBO, there was always like really bizarre deaths. That was how the episodes always started. And every once in a while you get one going, oh, I never thought of that. Now I'm going to be afraid of that household appliance forever. I don't believe waffle iron was ever one of them, but I could be mistaken. The last time I saw that show was like 12 years ago.
Okay.
A good one for random death scenes, in case anyone is interested.
Everybody needs that.
I don't know. It was a good show, actually. It really was. So anyway, that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please help us stay on the air. Become an EPP. Get all those bonus episodes. 100 some of the bonus EPP episodes, then all the archive, like 300 some there. So lots to binge away on. Exclusive video content as well. $5 a month is all we ask. Ghostpodcast.com. is where you go to get that. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.